it's not already on silent or vibrate, if you could put it on that setting. And I always tell people, you know, don't be on your phones during church. So what I'm going to do is come up here with my phone and get on my phone. But I don't know if this will work or not. But Mama Brenda, she is still in the nursing home, and I don't know if she'll answer, but if she does, we're going to sing her happy birthday, because her birthday is tomorrow, and we like to celebrate people. I'm not sure if she'll answer, bless her heart. Let's see. She's going to be upset if she doesn't answer. Well, she doesn't have an answering machine. So what we'll do is I will try to call her at the end of the service. But, you know, until you've been in a situation, you don't really know how a situation is. But let me tell you, I don't know from experience, but if you had to lay flat on your back for 7 or 8 months after a stroke and you didn't have the ability to just get up out of a place and walk, you would want somebody to call you and tell you happy birthday and come and see you and call you on the phone. So I'm going to ask you, you know, it's one thing to not be able to go to Dardanelle, and I understand that because we're all busy and we work and we do all those things, but there's no excuse for everybody not to call her tomorrow and give her a happy birthday. Her phone number, amen, her phone number is on the bulletin board on both sides. She's in room 208 at the Dardanelle nursing home, and so it is important that even though people aren't able to be here with us, they're still a part of us. And so when somebody's a part of you, you still think of them, you still pray for them, you still are a church family to them. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And I'm thankful for every person that's in God's house. And you are in the right place at the right time. If you've had a bad week, maybe you've had a good week, but whatever kind of week that you had, I want you to know that right here and now, God wants to make it better. If you've had a rough week, God's making it better right now. If you struggled in this week, if you had heartache this week, if you had depression and sadness and anxiety this week, God is here to meet you right in that place. If you had a good week, I want to tell you that God wants to make this coming week even better. So if you've struggled or anything at all this week, I want you to lift your hands up. We're going to pray, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place this morning, God, hands are lifted up to you. And so, God, I ask that you would meet them right where they stand today. God, if that is in sickness and infirmity, God, I ask that you would meet them in that place, Lord, where their body doesn't feel good. Lord, you said in your word that by your stripes we are healed. So I take that, Lord, literally, and I just thank you for the healing that is taking place right here and now. God, I speak over Logan County right now, and I call out addiction in this county and in this city, God, and I ask you right now, Lord, for every drug dealer, God, I ask that you would shut them down. God, for every person that's cooking meth, God, I ask that you would shut them down. Lord, and I ask most importantly, that should save them, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, for every inmate in Logan County, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over them right now. God, I ask that you would go into every pod, Lord, and meet them where they're at, God, and save them right now. Lord, for every person, God, that should be sitting in Paris Christian Center, God, maybe they're backslidden. God, maybe they're lost. Lord, I ask that you would convict that heart, God, and draw them right into your house, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm excited to be here this morning in Paris Christian Center. I've already seen God move in today. You know, if you'll open your eyes and you'll look around and you'll ask God, Lord, help me to see things how you see them, God will do just that. God is always working and he's always moving. And he's ready to meet you here this morning. I want to speak to you and minister to you on prayer. On prayer. Now, I am a very complex, quirky little person, and as my elementary school teacher always said, Kelly's just weird. And I have to agree with that statement. I've always been just a little on the strange side, Tierney, and I'm sure you have a lot of students that you're like, yeah, that kid's weird. But anyhow, the world is full of weird people, and I'm one of them, and I wear that very happily and great. God said that, you know what, I set you apart, and you're unique. And so here we are today. But I don't like to complicate the gospel. I was raised in church. I've been saved since I was 7 years old. And what I don't like is for things to seem like you can never do that. or you can never be that good, or you can never achieve that. When Christians and pastors, when they overcomplicate religion, when they overcomplicate salvation, that's a very unattractive thing. Amen? So I like to keep it real, and I like to keep it simple. And so I'm ministering this morning on prayer, and prayer is simply this: talking to God. Talking to God. You don't have to overcomplicate that. You don't have to have a PhD to pray. What you got to have is a heartbeat. And that's it. So many people, they disqualify themselves for just the simple act of praying. Well, they think, well, you know what? I've made too many mistakes. I've done too many things. God won't hear me because I don't have everything going right in my life. You know what? Let me tell you something. I'm convinced that there is not a person on the planet that in any one given moment they got it all going on and they're exactly in the right constantly. That just doesn't exist because we don't live in that type of world. In this life, we're going to have trials and we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have temptation. We're going to have all that stuff. And so, very plainly put, prayer is talking to God. I was in, as a lot of you know, I'm very, very active in the community. I think that a pastor that claims to love the community, yet they're not in the community, well, I just think they're full of it. Amen? You can't love the community unless you're in the community, working in the community that you love. And so I'm very involved, and I love people. I love to study them. I love to observe them. I like to watch them. I like to just see what they're going to do next, because let me tell you something, you don't never know. And the best advice I always give myself, Jen, is, Kelly, don't ever think that you can predict anybody, because the moment that you do, they're going to do something that's going to shock you. And I do that to myself. Sometimes I'll do something and I'm like, ooh, I'm shocked at that. I can't believe I said that. Ugh, better keep my mouth shut. But I was at a prayer thing in the community a few months ago, and they gave each person that they selected a category of what to pray for over the community. And I think that literally my category was the community, which is great. I can pray about the community all day long. So we get up there, and there was like 15 prayers, and I'm all about praying. But I can get lost real quick. If something's boring, it's boring. It's going to lose me real quick. I'm going to fall off that wagon super quick. So we get up there and pray, and Sherry, I'm real into it. I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, I get to be a part of this in the community. And this one guy gets up there, and he rolls out this extra long notebook paper, and he has written out this prayer. And about 15 minutes into that prayer, I thought I needed a dictionary, because I was like, I don't even know what that means. I've never heard that word in my life. What did he just say? And I don't know if the laughing devil ever gets on you, but it gets on me. At the absolute worst times ever, it'll get all over me, and I'll just have to rebuke it. But it doesn't help most of the time, because when I get tickled, it's just going to happen. And I start laughing out loud. Everybody's got their heads bowed, and I'm laughing because I'm going, God, I want to agree with this prayer, but I don't know what I'm agreeing to because I don't understand it. So we're talking about prayer this morning, and Mikey, prayer is just talking to God. If you're a fancy-dancy person and you pray fancy, that's great. If you're an Arkansan little hick girl like me and you just say, God, I need your helping. Lord God, I need it right now. That's great also. So we want to talk about prayer this morning, because prayer is the heartbeat of your life. It's the heartbeat of your life. Talking to God. Talking to God. You have to be able to have that communication open to where you can talk to God. There is no reason under God's green earth why you should not talk to Him. There isn't anything that you've done that's so awful that you should feel so ashamed that you can't call on His name. Because I want to remind you that the Word says, now whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. And that doesn't mean just saved as in receiving salvation. That also means saved. And I don't know about y'all, but God has saved me from myself. He has saved me from bad decisions. He has saved me from many things many, many times. And so there's no reason that you can't talk to God. Yet so many Christians, when that really everything is down and the chips are down and it's gotten rough, people don't talk to God. People don't talk to Him. One day this week I had something going on, and everybody I called, Angel, I couldn't get a hold of them. I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on with Straight Talk, but they're letting me down. What is wrong with these people? I always answer for them, and I need somebody, and they won't answer the phone. And God says, well, Kelly, that's because you and I are supposed to be having this conversation and not you and all them. And see, God wants you in the heat of the moment. In the heat of the moment. It's easy to pray to God at night, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep and all that great stuff. But you know what? God wants you in the heat of the moment when you're about to act up. God wants you in the heat of the moment when things are going bad, when something looks like it's going to take your family for a wrong turn. God wants you in that moment. And so turn with me now to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 5 through 15. And we're going to talk about prayer. And it says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 15. And I want to encourage everyone that comes into the sanctuary building to bring your Bible. I also want to encourage people that listen online, and maybe you're on in your house, maybe you can't get to church. I want to encourage you that when you're watching, get your Bible out. Get your Bible out and follow along, because let me tell you something. If you ain't following along, I could just be reading you something and you don't know if I'm telling you what's really in there or not. I was in Walmart the other day, and I've got a favorite cashier. Her name's Miss Kim. I love Kim. She's always got something sweet to say. And I was checking out, and then Brother Sam was behind me, and he was checking out. And she said, this must be for Lulu, because Walmart got some new snacks for Lulu, and they're like little chicken patties and little hamburger patties. And they're in these little bags, and I like to get new snacks for Lulu. Do you get the taco ones? She didn't eat the taco ones. She's bougie. She's just a little on the bougie side. She didn't like the tacos. But I got the hamburger patty ones. And Kim goes, well, how's Lulu? I said, what? She goes, I listen to you every Sunday. Well, Kim, if you're watching today and you're from your house and you're in your home, get your Bible out and follow along, because I believe that this word is going to help every person that will let God plant it into their heart. So in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, it says this right here, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Now let me just tell you something. Everybody's got a little bit of hypocrisy in them. If you don't like that statement, you probably got a little bit more than a little. Amen. I'll be sitting there thinking bad about somebody for doing something, and I'm doing the same darn thing. Glory to God. And then I'm like, God, help me. I'm such a hypocrite. Why am I like this, God? Help me. Help me, Lord. Don't let me be that judgmental. And it says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. And I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I want to tell you this morning, God knows what you need before you ask Him. But one of the key components of prayer is that you still need to ask. Why? Because the Word of God also says, you have not because you ask not. So the Word says, I know what you need before you ask. But then it says, you have not because you ask not. See, God likes you coming to Him and asking and saying, Daddy God, can you do this? Daddy God, will you help me with this? See, you have not because you ask not. He knows what you need, and He knows better what you need than you do, and you still need to ask. And so it says here that He knows what you need before you even ask. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. One of the things that you need to, when you're praying and you don't have a very clear-cut direction, you need to say, God, let your will be done in this situation. Lord, let your will be done. God, how I want to handle this is not how you'd have me to handle it. So, God, give me your will. Give me your will. A lot of people don't like to pray that because when God gives you his will, it ain't what you're going to like. When God gives you his will, it's not what you're going to like. And God's done that with me many times. And many times when God has said, well, Kelly, do this or forgive this person or whatever. And I've gone, are you sure? Let me ask you again, because I don't think that's right. I think you've gotten off a little bit, God. And then I'll go to him again, and he'll tell me the same thing. I'll go to him again. Look here. God knows exactly what you need. And it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11 is very important. Give us this day our daily bread. And one of the things when you're praying, what you need to keep into perspective is that, you know what? God has enough grace for you in today. God has enough favor for you in today. God has all of the answered prayers for you right in the palm of his hand just for today. When you want to be troubled, how many of you have ever been so troubled you couldn't even pray? I have been. I've been so weary, I couldn't pray. I've been so brokenhearted, I couldn't even pray. Why are we talking about stuff like this? Because you need to know that that's a thing. Sometimes pastors won't talk about things in church because they don't like people to know that they're just a person. Well, I would love y'all to know I'm just a person. And very early on in my pastorship, God said, Kelly, you're going to have to allow yourself to be a person. Because if you're not, you ain't going to last long. And it says, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses as we also forgive those who trespass against us. See, when somebody trespasses against you, they come on into your heart and in your emotions and into your life, and they do something to you. One of the knee-jerk reactions is you want to give it right back to them. You can't do that. Why? Because God can't bless that. You're either going to handle it or you're going to let God handle it. You're either going to pray over that or you're going to act over that. And you have to decide what kind of outcome that you want. I know that's terrible, isn't it, Gail? The other day, I saw something online on Facebook. And somebody had gone to one of our pool parties and they had said something. And I just happened to think we have the best pool parties ever. And they were being a nitpicker. And I don't like nitpicking. And you darn sure ain't going to nitpick my church. Sherry, I deleted my comment 5 times. I said, God, I don't even like that heifer. And now she's talking about my baby, which is Parish Christian Center. God, please. Turn an eye for 1 second and let me send this message. Please, Lord. I have been so good. Just allow me to do it. I said, Kelly, don't do it. I said, then God, please don't let me run into her in town because I don't know in this moment if I can shut my mouth. But forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. When you're praying, what you need to take a little inventory of is, who am I holding something against? Because that's going to hinder your prayers. That's going to hinder your prayers. You really want to pray some blank prayers and not have them answered? Hold a grudge. Walk in unforgiveness. That'll do it quicker than anything else. And it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So one of the important things that I want to point out in prayer is forgive people. Forgive them and let it go. And that's the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do, to forgive somebody when they've wronged you, when they've disappointed you, when they've done something that you didn't expect and your life turns out a way that you did not want it to. It's hard to do that. But you know what? You need to forgive them. And God has to work on me on that daily. Probably forgiving people is one of the hardest things for me. Because there's something about holding a grudge that makes me feel real good inside. My God, I'm going to let them know just how much I disgust them. I'm going to hold that grudge. I'm holding it, Lord. And then I'll go by and things start going wrong in my life. And I'm like, Lord, why is everything going wrong? He's like, well, this grudge and this grudge and this grudge and this grudge. Somebody asked me the other day, why do you not just despise this person? And I said, because I can't afford to. It's that simple. I can't afford to. I can't afford to have that grudge tyranny. Because if I have that grudge, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to open my prayer list and say, okay, God, which one of these is not going to be answered because I'm going to hang on to this? Gail, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. Because the Word says, you have not because you ask not. And I'm asking God for some really big things. And there isn't a person on this planet that's worth one unanswered prayer in my book. Forgive them and go on. When you pray, forgive that person. What's the easiest way to forgive somebody? Pray for them. That's the easiest way. I've prayed for people and I couldn't stand them and I started to pray for them. And Sherry, it may have taken 6 months, but there was a time where I began to pray for my enemy. And I just began to pray and plead the blood of Jesus over him. And then one day, I woke up and I loved him. I was able to give that person a clean slate and say, you know what? I'm not going to hold that against you. Why? Because look here, it's going to hinder your prayers. It's going to hinder your prayers. Let's go to Mark chapter 11 and verse 20. We're going to read in Mark chapter 11 in verse 20 through 25, and it says this, in the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots, and Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And in verse 22, Jesus says, have faith in God, and I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will happen, it will be done. One of the things that is key for you when it involves your prayer life is you've got to believe that God is able to give you what you asked for. You have to believe that God is going to do it. What did we just read? See, a lot of people, if you said, me and my sisters were really bad about this. We would wake up in the morning, every school morning at 5:30 in the morning, and we'd read the Bible. And Dad would ask us questions. Well, then we'd have to read it again because we were reading, but we weren't understanding. So the Bible says this, if you tell the mountain to move and you believe in your heart that it's going to move, when you tell it, it'll be done. But if you're telling the mountain to move, yet you don't believe that it can, it's not going anywhere. What do you need for prayer? Faith. Faith. You need to believe that everything that you ask God, that he's well able to do it. I remember when I worked in my clinical job for 14 years, there came a time where I thought, well, they're kind of ripping me off, and I deserve to earn more money. And I did. And Dad says, you need to go in there, and you need to ask them for a $2 an hour raise. And I thought, you're crazy. My boss is a jerk, and she's not going to do that for sure. So I get in there, and my heart's just a-beating because I know how anxiety it is to tell your boss that you don't think they're doing right by you and that you deserve a raise. I know that feeling because I've been there. So I looked her in the eye, and I said, I just believe that I deserve a raise. And she says, well, you do. And I said, I sure do. And she said, well, how much do you think that your raise should be? And I said, $1.50. She said, okay. She jotted that down in a little notebook. Give Kelly $1.50 more. She said, Kelly, I'd have given you anything you asked for. Why am I telling you this? Because God's asking you to pray, and He's asking you to pray and believe that He can do something bigger and above and beyond what you ask. Yes. The problem is people, they can't even ask for something big. Yes. I went home and I said, Dad, I wish I'd have had $2 an hour faith, but I didn't. I had $1.50 an hour bonus faith, and that's where I was at. See, you need to figure out where you're at in your prayer life. All this pansying around with people, that ain't cutting it. You need to figure out where are you at in your walk with God, and where are you at in your prayer life? Because, see, God wants to give you the best, and you may be asking for something that's just bottom run-of-the-mill. God wants to give you the very best, but He wants you to believe you're well able to have it. He wants you to know that if you ask Him, He's going to give it to you. My little boys, Dale, there isn't anything they won't ask me for. Why? Because I've never told them no because I didn't have the ability to do it. Have I told them no? Yeah. But it's never been because I didn't have the ability to give them what they asked for. God is the same way. When you come to God, He doesn't want you coming to God like a whooped pup. Have you ever seen a whooped pup? When I see that, it makes me want to go straight to the owner and bully them because I know they've been beating on that dog. Amen? I don't like people being mean to animals. That's why I only have one. If I had any more, it would get on my nerves. But I'm going to spoil that one rotten. People say, why do you let her eat whatever you eat? Well, because if she's going to die, she's going to die happy. I've been investigating on what I should eat to be healthier. And everything I found, well, it's going to kill you in this way or kill you in the other way. And I'm going, Lord, I'm just going to eat and do a little bit better and mind my portions because, God, apparently everything I'm eating is killing me in one way or another. So, Lord, I'm just going to be happy. And I'm going to do it in moderation. But see here, it says, have faith in God Jesus. And I tell you the truth that if any person talk to the mountain and tell it to be moved, it'll move. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whatever you've asked for in prayer, what have you asked for today? What have you asked for today? I was talking to somebody a couple months ago, and I said, well, I want to come out of this situation with this, this, and this, and they said that you're crazy. I said, well, that's not the first time I've heard that, actually. I said, I'm just telling you that when I come out of this, this is what I want. They said, you'll never get that. And I said, well, there's always a first time for everything. Guess what? I got that. And it has anything to do with me, but it has to do with God. Why? Because I asked Him. Because I asked Him. Did I know it was a long shot? Yep. Did I think that it wasn't going to happen? In the beginning, yeah. God said, Kelly, I'll give you whatever you ask, but I need you to ask me. I said, Daddy God, can I have it? Yes. He said, yes.
Thank you, God.
See, when you're asking God things for your life, you need to ask Him big. You need to ask Him for real big things. Why? Because God is still doing miracles today. He's still on the throne, and He's still being God. He's still being that good, sweet God that He is. And it says so, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. Look here. Once again, this is the second place that we've been to today about prayer. And it points out you need to forgive people when you're praying. If you're holding something against someone, that's a good way to get your prayer blocked right there. Ask God to help you forgive them. Forgiveness doesn't come easy to me. Some people, I think it does. Doesn't matter if it comes easy to you or not. It's a must. It's a must. I also like where it says, if you believe that when you tell the mountain to go, if you really believe it. There was a point in my life a few years ago. I was in an awful, awful place. And that was the first time in my life that I had ever experienced what I feel like was true, absolute, overwhelming depression. And it was the type of sadness where you can't even get out of bed because you're that messed up. I'd never in my life gone 3 or 4 days without taking a shower, but I did then. And I got up and I said, you know what? If David can lose his son and go to God's house, I'm going to get up off of this couch and I'm just going to start to make myself do something. And I was in my house alone, and I remember exactly where I was in my house, and I remember talking to God. See, Tierney, we don't got to say all these elaborate things. We just got to talk to Him. And I remember just talking to Him, and I was going from my living room to my dining room, and I said, God, I just don't know what I'm going to do if You don't do something. God, I've played every card that I have. And this is beyond my control. And right when I got in my dining room, I hit my knees, Melissa, and I put my hand up. And I said, God, You tell me what to pray. And I began to weep. And let me tell you something. I have never in my life prayed a prayer that intensely. And I said, God, in Jesus' name, show me what to pray. And Sherry, I just begin to speak power. I said, God, in Jesus' name, I ask You right now, Lord, to send those angels. You know right where they need to go. God, in Jesus' name, I lay down every moment of depression that I've had and I lay it at Your feet because, God, You are bigger than depression. You are bigger than anxiety. And God, if I'll just do what You told me to do, You're going to move. See, you don't got to have some long list of stuff to pray. And if you do, that's great. But you know what? At the end of the day, if you're just a simple person, why don't you just talk to God? Because let me tell you something. There is pivotal moments of prayer in your life that you'll never forget. That's one of them for me. I remember feeling how the floor felt on my knees when I hit my knees. I remember feeling that absolute depression and anxiety. I remember just feeling something in my soul just take it right on out. In that moment, I thought, I'm in the biggest storm and I'll never get out of it. Look here. I look back on that and I think, that was a drop in the bucket. You need to believe that what you ask God to do, that He'll do it. And you need to pray. And you need to put it before Him. Put it before Him. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 26. And we're talking about prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 30. And it says here, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I don't preach anything that's not in the Word. I've heard preachers get up and preach. I've heard it on TV. I've heard it on the radio. And I've heard people just make up their own Bible verses. You're never going to get that from me. If I can't give you a chapter and verse, I'm not preaching it. But here we are. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And I'm going to tell you that when you get in those places in your life and you're telling God, God, I don't even know what to pray. There's a Spirit, there's a Holy Spirit that's coming into that situation, and He's going to begin to intercede for you. And He knows exactly the prayers. See, and the Holy Spirit will pray for you. The Holy Spirit will intercede for you. Last Monday, I walked into the jail. And y'all can't get mad at me for this, but it is what it is. The jail is my favorite place to preach. Because you can keep it so real in there. You just keep it real. And when I walked in there, it's a big room. And all the girls were in there. And I saw one of them locked in there. And they said, she's in isolation. She's been being bad. Well, my heart always goes out to those ones. It just always does. And as I begin to minister to these women, see, you have some crazy things go on up in there, and you're locked up in there with them. And if they just want to do something to you, well, there you go. You're going to just see what's going to go on. And I've had them walk around me while I was preaching, telling me to shut up and all sorts of stuff, and I just kept going. That same girl, by the end of that sermon, she just sat down and got the closest to me, and she was just right there in it. See, you best do what God told you to do. Oh, did you say shut up? Okay. We're just going to keep going, because by the end of this message, you're going to be front and center, sister. Why? Because the anointing breaks the yoke. That's why. But Monday, I went in there and I began to minister. And this little teeny tiny girl, she was probably in her 20s, she stood up and she put her ear by the door, and I saw her through the little glass square, and she had her Bible and she was listening to me. And all throughout the sermon, God just had troubled the water inside of me for that little girl. And as I ended, I went over there, got about 6 feet from her, and I said, what is your name? She told me her name. I said, God wants me to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And she began to weep, and she put her hands up. And I began to just plead the blood of Jesus. Look here, as soon as I did that, just a wave of the Holy Spirit came through. All them girls, see, prayer isn't just about you. So many times we're so messed up in our life, and we're praying, and all of our prayers are all about us. God's saying, I need one person to intercede and pray for somebody else besides herself. Amen? And that blessed me as I walked out of there. Why? Because I felt like, you know what, God? You just got to speak to that little girl one-on-one. And I looked at her and I said, God has a plan for your life. I don't know what brought you up in here, but I want to tell you that God has a really big plan. God wants to use you to change everybody around you. And I said, if you'll let God, He's going to change your life. And she just kept on having her hands up, kept on weeping. I said, you know what? May the same God that's kept you your whole life, let Him keep you, let Him get you out of here, and you never come back in here again. I said, you hear me? I never want to see you up in here again. Because, see, God has a plan, and it ain't involving you being locked up. But look here, you're locked up now, God's going to get you out. And when He does, you need to remember Him. Amen. But prayer is not just all about you. You need to exercise and practice praying for other people. Why? Because, see, God needs those type of prayers. God knows what you need before you ask Him. But let God use you to intercede for someone else. Case in point, that was on Monday when I prayed for that girl. On Wednesday, I love Mondays and I love Wednesdays. I really love every day, but those are my favorites because that's when I really get to get involved and see people and do food stuff, and it's just fun because I always just am at awe at what God has done. So on Wednesday, I'm all running around like a crazy person. And out of the corner of my eye, I can see somebody walking. It was so weird because we had a parking lot full of people. I don't know if you've ever been here on a Wednesday, but it's real crazy. And there's just people everywhere. And out of the corner of my eye, it's like I see one little old lady, and she started coming up, and I could see her. And she had parked all the way at the end of the parking lot, and I could see her coming towards me. And she said, Pastor Kelly? And I said, yes. She goes, and she began to weep. said, God sent me here to pray for you. And I just broke. I said, I wish you would. And by golly, Jill, she wrapped her arms around me and she began to pray power into my life. When she was done, she turned around. She didn't even get any food. She turned around, got right back in her car and left. Here's what the word says. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. What are you willing to do for somebody else? What type of prayers are you willing to pray for somebody else? How much time are you willing to give in prayer on your knees for someone else besides yourself? Because here's the deal. Nothing goes unseen with God. I know for a fact that Monday's prayer that I gave was directly linked to Wednesday's prayer that God gave to me. Prayer. Prayer is talking to God, and God wants you to talk to Him all the time. What does the word say? Pray without ceasing. What does that really mean when we break it down? It means talk to God without ceasing. Everything you do, talk to Him. Talk to God about it. God, I'm about to go into Walmart. Please help me not to act up if I see Sally Sue and I don't like her. God, I'm about to go to the pizza buffet. Please don't let me overdo it. God, I'm going to get on Amazon for a second and order something for the church. Please don't let any shoe ads come up for me. Lord, please. You know I have trouble. So Romans chapter 8. We're right back there, and it says here, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Verse 28, and we know that in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want to tell you today, if you don't hear another thing that I say, God's called you. God has called you. And not only has he called you, but he's called you and he has set you apart and he's called you by name. He's called you by name. You have a calling on your life. It comes without repentance. God's not sorry that he gave it to you. He's not regretting it on your worst day when you've acted a fool and you've showed out. God's still not sorry that he put that call on your life. If you waste 30, 40 years of your life in a sin and in an addiction that you know you shouldn't be in, look here, that call, it's still there. It's still there. So many people, they try to run from God. Look here, run to him. Run to him. When you're high, run to him. When you're sad, run to him. When you're depressed, run to him. When you have all that you need and you can't even figure out one thing to ask him for, keep running to him. Pray. Pray, pray. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those that he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. One of the problems with a lot of believers is they always want to justify and defend themselves in every little thing that goes on. I'm going to say that again. One of the big problems with believers is they're always wanting to defend and justify every single thing. Somebody don't like me. Well, I want to make them like me. And somebody said this to me, and I'm just gonna say something back, and I'm going to justify this little action. Look here, that's petty. That's petty. And stop being petty. Don't be petty. What do they say? Don't be a Karen. If that's something bad, I'm sorry. I'm not really sure what it means. I just see it on stuff. I know what it means in my head. Don't be petty. Look here. You don't got to justify yourself. What did we just read? God will justify you. He's your vindicator. Back in the pandemic, when it was really flaring up, the state of Arkansas called and they said, we want to partner with you and we want to give the church a bunch of corona tests for you to hand out. I thought, well, that just sounds great. That was the biggest, craziest mess I ever got myself up into. You thought I was giving out $100 bills or something. I mean, I had people all up in my business, day and night. And I'm somebody, I like to defend myself, and I like to shut everybody up. When I know somebody has said something about me, it just eats at me, and I want to say something about it. That's genetics. That's Italian blood work going on. There's a family in town, and they've always been just a little bit uppity. They've always had to say something about my family. See, we all got that stuff going on. And here's my problem. I got a chip on my shoulder half the time, and I think, well, people don't know half of what I've had to be in to be a preacher's kid and be in the ministry. How dare them talk smack? I'd like to address that, and I'd like to say something about that. Lord, let me run into them in Walmart, too. Well, God did one better. See, because I told God some things. I know this is real. This poor lady, she's like, God, this preacher's awful. She's really got some things. Look here. God will call the people that, man, you think, God's very weird in what he does because the people he calls are really out there. Yes, we are. But I told God, I said, God, in 2019, right before I became a pastor, I said, God, what do you want me to pray? This was in January. And he said, I want you to ask for Logan County because I want to give it to you. So I began to pray, God, give me Logan County. What does that mean? God, let the impact and the calling that's on my life and the anointing on my life, let it literally touch every aspect, every geometrical little business that's going on, every square inch mile of Logan County. Let my life impact that, God, for the glory of who you are. And I told God, and I made a vow to God, and I've kept this as best as I could. And I told God, Lord, if you'll put me in a place of authority, if you'll put me in a place where, yeah, the state of Arkansas, they're calling me instead of any other pastor in the town. They're wanting to connect with me. God, I'm going to be good to people that's not been good to me. God, I'm going to be a good leader, and I'm not going to give people what they deserve. I'm going to give them what you have for them. So this family, all of a sudden, they think life is great as far as my family is concerned. They said, oh, Pastor Kelly, we think you're so wonderful. We just think you're great. We really think we've got corona. Would you be so great to maybe have any of them corona tests? I said, oh, I do. And I'll do you one better than that. I'll deliver it to your house. Why? Because look here. I have a flesh and it tries to rule my life a lot, but let me tell you something. When you can turn your cheek, God will answer your prayers so darn quick. He just will. Since then, the biggest grant in the state of Arkansas, who did that go to? Parish Christian Center. See, how are you? How is your prayer life when people are coming against you and they're being just people? That's what God really wants to know about you today. What kind of person are you really? Not how you're acting, not how you portray, how you really are. Take a look at that person. And if you're having prayers that you're praying and they're not being answered, look at some qualities that you have. Because you know what? Anybody can be a jerk to somebody that's been a jerk to them. And very few people can turn a cheek and just say, yeah, I'm going to deliver it to your house because God's that good. He wants you to not have to get out when you don't feel good, when your family's sick. I delivered that, and then I did a little extra because I pride myself in being extra. I'm going to be extra with everything in my life, whether it's my shoes, whether it's anything. I don't care what it is, whether it's them chips that I'm eating. Everything is extra. And I thought, if this good deed isn't enough, I'm going to pray. And I got right up in their driveway. And I said, God, in Jesus' name, the same God, Lord, that's been so good to me, God, let it bless this family. Lord, you know exactly what they need. So, God, I ask you right now, God, to give it to them. God, not just a little bit, but God, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. I ask that you'd give it to that family right now in Jesus' name. Lord, fill them with compassion, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, God, whatever they need, I thank you, God, Lord, that you're working it out for their good. God, I ask that you bless their children. God, I ask that you bless their church where they go to. God, I ask that you bless their finances, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus that has healing for them right now. See, when is the last time that you just got down and dirty with your own emotions? See, you don't think I've got emotions? There's people, I'd like to just snuff them out. But I don't go there. Why? Because God will justify me 7 days out of the week if I will do what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to do? Be sweet as pie to them. Be sweet. Keep your sweetness. Keep that sweetness. Why? Because, see, every time you were awful and doing things and all this stuff, how was God to you? How was he to you? And how is your prayer life today? How is your prayer life? Are you only coming to God when you need something? When you see your enemy and they're struggling, are you happy or are you saying, God, help them? I always think I want to see something bad happen to them, and then I'm like, when it happens, I'm racking my brain at night. How can I help them? Lord, I don't like seeing that about that person. Lord, how can I help them? Pray. Pray. And don't just pray for yourself. Pray for people. When you see someone in the town a few months ago, I saw a person in town and something had came out about one of their kids. And I could tell, we were at Roma's, and I could tell, and I looked at their face, and I looked at that mom, and I looked at that dad, and they had absolute shame on their face because they were so mortified of what just had come out about their son. And I just prayed a prayer to myself. I said, God, in Jesus' name, help that family. Help that family. Help them to be able to go back into their town where they live and help them to have their head held high. God, you don't have shame for that family. Lord, I just ask that you'd help that situation. God, help them to not feel like an absolute failure as a parent. Lord, help that family. I don't even know those people. A lot of people get on mobile patrol and they want to see all the juice. I get on mobile patrol. Here's what I do at night. So you can use your smartphone for something smart and intelligent like doing for others, or you can be just like everybody else, and you got to pick what you're going to do every day. I get that mobile patrol on, and I'm like, and I get to them pictures and them names, and I put my hand over them, and I just begin to pray for them. Why? Because they're somebody's kid. They're somebody's family. They're somebody's husband. They're somebody's wife. And most importantly, more than all of that, they're a child of God. And we got to learn how to pray for people. You don't got to know somebody to pray for them. What you got to have a heart is a heart of compassion that realizes, look here, life is more than just about me. It's more than just about me. So God, put me in line with people you want me to pray for today. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. We're talking about prayer this morning. Prayer is something that should be going on every day. Every day of your life, you should be talking to God. I hear them in Walmart all the time. I hear them in this place or that place, and somebody will be telling something, and they go, well, all we can do now is just pray about it. Like that's the last resort. When I walk by them, I'm praying for them to get a new outlook on prayer. Proverbs 11, chapter 25, an anxious, let me get here in the right place, that would be helpful. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Your prayers were meant to refresh people. How many of you have ever had somebody think of you, and just the fact that somebody thought of you just was refreshing? Amen? We live in a world where a lot of people are all about themselves. And what I'm asking you as your pastor is don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. Pray. And pray for other people. When you have family members, when you have things that's gone on in your life and they've been a disappointment for you, don't get bitter. Don't get bitter. Pray about it. Pray about it. So many times I've just had to stop and I've had to say, God, I really want to hold this grudge. God, you know exactly what this person did. And God, I feel like they're getting away with it. Let me tell you something. Nobody gets away with anything. Pray about it. Pray about it. When you've heard the worst news ever, when you've gone to the doctor and it doesn't sound good, pray about it. When you've heard something about your job, pray about it. When something has affected your family, put it to prayer. It's not a last resort. Well, all I can do now is pray. No. Pray. Just simply pray. Last year in December, 3 days before Christmas, we had to take my sweet daddy. It's when I talk about it. But here's how I never want to be. And here's how our family never wants to be. We never want to look like to y'all that we don't struggle. Because that is the worst thing for leadership to look like. We struggle and we struggled many times. God has been better than any bigger than any struggle we've ever had. But 3 days before Christmas, we took him. He got a major operation. I was sitting there and I was praying. Because I have always been a daddy's girl. And he's my best friend in the whole world. My dad is my best friend. And I was very torn. And I said, God, I want to be up there with him. But God, I also respect and I honor what you've called me to do. So God, what I need right now is just very clearly tell me what you want me to do. Do you want me to shut down this whole thing? Because see, we had food for the inmates. We had food, lunch for the people that worked at the thing. We had like five big events on Christmas week. And I said, God, I just want to cancel all of them. Because I want to be up there with my dad. He said, Kelly, you let them other three girls go up there with your daddy. And you do what I told you to do. So the whole week while I was packing those nursing home boxes, while we were making that food for the inmates, while we were ordering the food for the nursing home staff, while we were doing all that stuff, while I was bringing a donation check over to the senior citizen place so they could have a good Christmas. See, while I was doing all the things that God told me to do, and Angel, it was hard for me to do what God told me to do. See, God's never going to tell you to do something that's going to just be easy all the time. And as I did it, I said, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, as I do your will. See, what did we just read? Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, God wants somebody that wants his will. I said, God, as I do what you've told me to do, I know that you've already gone up there with Daddy. Well, those of you that know that story, I think he's better than he's ever been. Look here, the night we took him was a very scary night. I said, Daddy, if you don't want to get up there and do praise and worship, I don't want you to feel like you had to. Because I didn't think he could make it to the front of the church. He said, Kelly, if you'll get these guys to carry me to the front of the church, I'm going to do what I was called to do. And let me tell you something, with a bilateral brain bleed, he sat right here like he's always been in this church, and he sat right there, and he played his guitar, and he didn't miss a beat. Then what did he do? He preached after that. Then what did he do? He listened to baby girl, and we went to the hospital and got him all taken care of. But let me tell you something, come hell or high water, you best do what God told you to do. When God tells you to do something in your prayer life, you best do that. It could mean life or death for you. It's hard for the devil to take someone over that'll just do what God told them to do. A lot of people, they don't know what God's telling them to do because they don't pray. Because they don't pray, Gail, and ask God, God, what would you have me to do? They don't know what God wants them to do because they ain't talking to God. They're coming on to church and they're just thinking that their life is great. Look here, if you think your life is great just because you're coming to church, you're wrong. Your life is great because you're working out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. That's when your life is great. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. And it says this right here, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. Pray continually. Another place in the Bible, it says pray without ceasing. What is prayer? Talking to God. Talking to God. Last place for me this morning, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. See, how are you approaching God in your prayer life? How do you approach God? This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, according to His will. If you're having prayers that aren't answered, here's the nugget out of today. Ask God for His will. And that way, when you pray His will over your life, that's an answered prayer. That's an answered prayer. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have that which we asked of Him. I wanted to minister to y'all this morning on prayer because it was the thing in my life this week that was so evident that God was speaking to me about. And I preach out of the overflow of my life. Why? Because that's what I know. I want to encourage you to pray. There are things that I am positive God wants to do with y'all in your life, in your family, in your health, in your children, in your jobs. God wants to do some big and amazing things. He wants to talk to you. Can God talk to you today? Can you slow down and talk to Him? Y'all stand with me today. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus, God, over every person that's standing here today. God, for every person on their couch, Lord, I ask that You would help us, God, to be able to talk to You at all times. Lord, help us to be able to pray, God, and to intercede for other people. Lord, I ask You for divine appointments this week for every person. God, cause us to be a blessing. Lord, let us all be in the right place, God, at the right time. Lord, to be a blessing for You, God. And we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.